97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Bo Matthews in here alongside me and Carl Middleman.
Hi.
Playing the theme to The Godfather.
There's a reason.
I love it. I love it. You do me a favor, I do you a favor.
Very nice.
Good job, Bo.
Very nice.
I love that.
So
there's a reason we did that.
Why is that?
Oh, we're gonna talk to Grace. Grace is owner with her husband Giuseppe, Grace Presavento. And Giuseppe is definitely from the old country. Grace is from around here. But they've got a big fundraiser going on for Responder Rescue. We're going to talk to her in this show because we do support our first responders. Mark, you do your event every year. I do my poker bash every year for law enforcement. And it just made sense on a program like this. By the way, I met a guy named Tom the other day, just in the wild. I was out in the wild.
Yes.
At a restaurant. And of course, my wife often says, "Hey, don't talk so loud." But I was talking and he walks up and goes, "Are you Bo Matthews?" I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "I listen to you every Sunday morning on Second Amendment Radio." I was like, "Oh, great. Thanks, man." And I don't know why I brought that up. It was just kind of
nice. It's nice to be recognized.
Thanks.
When you're on
thanks,
the
Tom. Thanks
we
for listening.
We appreciate it, Tom. Yeah, thank you. And you'll have plenty of time. We'll have more on the feast coming up, but it's Sunday afternoon, noon to 5, so you're going to have plenty of time to get out there, Tom, and enjoy some great Italian cooking for a good cause. Be good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was a big supporter of the Second Amendment, and he was actually shocked that the program is still continuing. I was like, yeah, we are kind of too, but don't say anything out loud.
Well, the DNC's in town this weekend. You've ruined it now. Boy, way to go, Bo.
Well, I also found out that our next guest that we're having on the next break is going to Austria in November for an ibex hunt. So that will be fantastic, too.
Really?
What's an ibex?
Ibex is, it looks kind of like a deer, but it's not a deer.
Phil is going.
Yeah.
Kidding.
He said, not now, but he'll talk to you about it when he gets back.
Okay, nice. Phil is with the Stuckmeyer's Farm, and we're going to talk to them as well, because that's a great activity to get involved in over this weekend with the cooler weather. It feels a little bit more like fall, kind of gets people in the mood for that. I did mention, though, a minute ago, Bo, it's weird. The weather's cooling off, and suddenly, oddly, all of the homeless people in downtown St. Louis have disappeared.
Where did they go?
We don't. We're not sure.
12 of them.
Larry
went
Rice
to
didn't
a,
get back open, did he?
No.
12 of them went to a shelter.
12 of them went to a shelter. There were 27 or 28 tents outside of St. Louis City Hall.
And sure. Larry Rice admitted he was the one that brought those tents down there.
And
wow.
And oddly enough, an order went out on Thursday that they all had to go. Just out of nowhere, they've been there for weeks. Then they all had to go. And then we put two and two together. This weekend in the city of St. Louis at the Marriott downtown, it started on Thursday. It'll wrap up Sunday afternoon sometime. The Democrat National Convention is holding their fall meeting here. Not their convention, but they're talking about their convention, which, of course, will be coming up next summer before the presidential campaigns.
Right.
And
so the level of height and power is Kamala. Is she going to be?
Here.
Is that the,
she's
the top of the
weekend.
Food chain?
She's here this weekend. And my guess is there'll be national media following her to this event. And
of course.
It just wasn't a good look at all for the city to have a bunch of homeless people who, according to the mayor, were urinating and defecating all over the ground out there outside of below her window.
Wow.
So lo and behold, they have been relocated, and fencing has been put up around City Hall and around the other park across the street known as the Fireman's Memorial Park to keep the homeless out, because apparently walls work. I don't know if you knew that or not. Like, walls work, even though the Democrats tell us they don't. They work.
Oh, no, no, no. They changed their mind on that this
week. Oh, they did. They are going to put some more fencing at the border, apparently. But anyway, they're scarce. And the mayor denied that the DNC coming in town had anything to do with it. But they've all disappeared. My guess is on Monday they'll be back.
Isn't this the reason maybe why more is not being done in Washington, D.C. for the states and the big cities around the country? Because, you know, it's kind of like in, you know, having family over for a holiday. Everybody clean their room. Everybody clean the house. We got to clean up. We got to look our best. And so nobody realized, you know, people walk in your house. They're like, wow, they keep a really nice house. No, they don't. They live like animals normally every other day of the year. So, I don't know. I get it. And they do. They usually do that when, you know, the presidential motorcade is going to roll through an area of any part of the country. You know, they clean it up. They get rid of the shipping containers. Let's show them what's really happening.
What the problem
let's
is.
Show them what's really happening.
Well, if they were illegal aliens, we wouldn't have to hide them. We could put them up in $300 a night hotels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually had a caller to my show this week who made a fairly good point. They don't always, but he did. And he didn't agree with me at all on the homeless issue, for the most part. But what he's mad about is that there are a bunch of illegal aliens in the United States. The southern border is open. They slap them on the wrist and send them north and have no idea where they're going and don't ever expect them to come back. And they show up in places like Chicago and New York, and they get put up in $300 a night hotels where they run the regular paying guests off because they want a check from the government. They know that's not going to bounce. And yet his argument is homelessness is a daily problem in big cities, and they're left to, in many cases, sleep on the street. Now, that was his point. Many of these people are hardcore homeless. I've covered this story for years as a reporter at Channel 4. They're not the people that want help. They want handouts. They want free food. They want money to buy drugs and alcohol with. But they don't want to go into a shelter because they can't do those things at the shelter.
Right. There's rules.
They're homeless for a reason. There are mental health issues. There are drug addiction issues. There are hardcore homeless people who wouldn't go to Reverend Rice's shelter because he wouldn't allow any of that nonsense there. And those are the people that were camping out outside of City Hall. Some of them had dogs. Dogs aren't allowed in the shelter, so they wouldn't go to the shelter. But they're mad that more's not being done for them.
You know, it does blow me away. I grew up in Minnesota in my younger years, and, you know, there was certainly a homeless population. But, dude, let me tell you, the winter is coming, and I don't know, you know, unless the homeless are have the ability to be a snowbird, jump a train, or whatever, to go south, how in the world do they survive out there?
Yeah.
Because I do remember when I was a kid and we were watching the news, the three channels we had. I do remember an image of a guy that was frozen in a walking position, laying in a snowbank, and he had froze to death.
Wow.
And I was like, how in the world, if you're homeless, why would you be anywhere north of the Mason-Dixon line when winter hits? But that's just me.
Years ago, this always seems to be a bigger issue. Remember when homelessness was a huge issue? They had a march for the homeless in Washington, D.C., probably 88, maybe. And I worked in Dayton, Ohio at the time. And they got some corporations. They shipped in homeless people from all over the country to the nation's capital. In hindsight, it was a really bad idea because most of them stayed, right? Washington, D.C. is a social services haven, a social services haven. And they put us on buses. Corporations paid for it. They put us on buses. And I, as a member of the media, I got to ride along with them. Note to self, riding on a bus in the middle of the winter with a bunch of homeless people with the heaters blowing is never a good idea. It was a miserable 10-hour trip to Washington, D.C. But George H.W. Bush was president then, and there were people that wanted to make a point, and they got all these homeless people and people that supported him and marched down to the Capitol building and demanded something be done about it. And a lot of them stayed because they knew there were a lot of social services there for them in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it's sad when you look at the VA in the St. Louis area. You know, they have a homeless veterans program, and yet you hear the same stories. A lot of these guys and gals don't want to go into the VA because of the restrictions that they may have, whether it's no smoking, no pets, whatever that is. But the outreach that like Larry Rice does or the VA does for the homeless is a beautiful thing, because they are trying to do everything they can to help them. So hats off to anybody that does that.
Yeah,
it's just impressive to me.
I would agree with that completely. Hey, by the way, we are Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, and we have not mentioned hunting yet this weekend. This is, believe it or not, this is the opening weekend for the new early antlerless deer hunt in Missouri. They created one October 6th to 8th, which it covers this weekend, when people can go out and take basically antlerless deer earlier than normal, which is actually earlier than the early youth firearms portion as well. So we just want to mention that's going on in case people had forgotten about it, in case you notice a lot of people in your woods.
And the temperatures are cooperating with those people that want to get out there with their camo on and sit in their deer stand. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just really cool. A great time to go out there and spend some time in the great outdoors. Now, this isn't just archery, is it? This is
no, it's firearm. Firearm early antlerless portion is going to be this weekend. So
that's great.
People can get out and do that. It is still, there's still a bow hunting and crossbow hunting allowed. That's going on right now as well too. And then the normal firearm season is November 11th to the 21st. They've also expanded some of the chronic wasting disease checkpoints this year, so people are going to have to we know where they are around the greater St. Louis area. Most people that hunt around here already know, but there are some new counties opened up where they're going to require, on the opening weekend, the first 2 days, people will have to find a check station where they can go in and get their deer checked.
It's hopefully going to be a great time for people getting out there. You know, if you're not going to the Blues game or something like that, if you're chomping at the bit and you're excited about this early portion of the season, heck, and what's the limit? Do we know? Do you have the numbers? There's a bunch of deer, man. You're seeing a lot on the side of the road.
I don't. I guess you'd probably have to go on their website when you get your deer permit, and it'll probably tell you what the limits are.
We're going to try to get our buddy Tim Chelsvik on next week with us.
Oh, good. But have you been noticing a rise in the amount of roadkill deer?
I've noticed a rise in the amount of deer that I pass on my way to work every morning. I can tell you that. And they're smart, because they go into the neighborhoods where they can't be eliminated unless the city has taken that effort upon itself and hired someone.
Yeah. We're seeing an uptick in raccoons as well.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like, just during the daylight hours, just walking around, you know, picking out of my lake. It's like, well, I guess they're hungry, but that, you know, you got subdivisions going in everywhere, and those critters got to go somewhere.
Right. So they're coming to your woods for sure. Yeah, that's what they're doing. Well, I had a great time Friday night. I have to tell you, the St. Louis Bourbon Festival.
Oh yeah,
held downtown. This is the third time they've done it, and the folks at the St. Louis Bourbon Society just do such a great job of this. They bring in samples and distilleries, master distillers from all over the country, and a lot from right here in the greater St. Louis region, actually. And they set up down on Limp Street near Cherokee and Limp, near the Limp Mansion. The Limp Mansion was part of the festivities this year. They've got tents along the streets with samples they'll give you, you know, for the admission price. I think general admission was like $90. And while some people may look at that and think it's kind of steep, it lasts for 4 hours, and there's no end to the amount of samples you can have, which means you really kind of have to pace yourself.
Please pace yourself.
They have food trucks. They want to make sure people have plenty to eat. If they have a couple of drinks, they have free water they're handing out. My friends from Lit Cigar Lounge had a couple of booths down there where they were selling cigars for people that wanted to smoke a cigar. So it's mostly outdoors. Couple things inside a couple of halls, but it was fantastic. You're not much of a bourbon fan, are you?
You know what? Since we've been friends for the last couple of years, I've actually dipped my toe in that world.
I'm glad to hear that.
I don't drink a lot. I just don't have time. I don't have time for the, you know, the effects of it the next morning.
That's the key, Bo. If you're drinking the good stuff, that's not a problem.
Right. And if you are going to take part of this festival, how long does it go? Through Sunday?
No,
it was one night only. It was Friday night. Yeah, it was Friday night.
I'm out.
That's okay. So it's just one night, and they bring in people from all over the country, and you know, there's a VIP ticket. Those sold out really early, but that gives you access to some of the higher end stuff from Buffalo Trace and Sazerac, and they had different tastings up there as well. So.
Is it ironic that it's on the same weekend the DNC meetings are happening?
I don't think
there's going to be a great deal of crossover there. I'm sure that was pure coincidence.
But, Bo, next year for the fourth annual, now you can go.
I'll have to get you signed up for next year.
Let's book it, Dano. I'll definitely do
good
that.
Good time, and Uber's going to make a lot of money, I'm sure, Friday night.
Okay, well, we skipped from deer hunting to that, but are you deer hunting this weekend?
I am not planning on deer hunting this weekend, but thank you for asking. I should. I'll probably wait till the regular deer season to go out.
Yeah, you've been a little busy, especially with that part.
Yeah, no kidding. That is absolutely the truth. All right, coming up here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, up next, we're going to get to the Great Outdoors part. The weather is cooler. People are thinking of going out to farms and pumpkin farms, and we're going to tell you about a place that is fantastic. It's open 7 days a week right now. You can get the kids out there and have a little bit of fun and pick up some fresh veggies and pumpkins of all assorted colors, right, Bo Matthews?
That, you know what? I've just been seeing that, and we've got to ask Phil LaCrone when we talk to him, because it may be Photoshop. I may be completely wrong. I don't know.
Could be. We'll get to all that and more for you coming up right here on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Getting a little taste of that fall weather. I mean, hopefully the heat is gone and we're going to get some moderate temperatures for a while and some beautiful weather now that all the rain from last week has moved out. So a good excuse to get outdoors, Bo Matthews.
It is, Mark Cox. It certainly is. And you said the heat is on. That would be another great song that Carl Middleman could play.
I'll get it on.
You know, people get so excited about this time of the year because, you know, the farms open up and welcome guests, which they do most of the year anyway. But for the fall festivals, that's awesome. Like the DNC Fall Festival going on here in St. Louis, as I've heard its name. But we have on the Missouri Brush Control guest line, farmer Phil LaCrone from Stuckmeyer's Farm. Welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
How are you guys? Doing well.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah, fourth generation family-owned vegetable farm right there just south of St. Louis between Fenton and Arnold. I'm sure photo ops are all over the place, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And they've got some information about people that, you know, maybe can't get out on the weekend. So we want to talk about all that Stuckmeyer's offers. So bring it on, Phil.
Well, let's see. During the week, we do a lot of school tours. So we have a lot of preschool schools that come out. We offer one of the better hay rides in St. Louis. I'd say one of the best. It goes along. It's about a 20-minute ride. Goes along a spring-fed creek with along a bluff where trees are starting to change now a little bit. With it being dry, we'll see how it's going to turn out, but they are starting to turn. We have our U-Pick pumpkin patch. The Fort Spooky, which is a playground for the kids to play in. It's got a mini corn maze in there. On the weekends, we have a full-size corn maze going. We offer pony rides, barrel rides, inflatables. We also, as you said, we have our market open. We have really nice mums that we grow. We make kettle corn on the weekends, and we're set up for fun family times. So the whole family can come out, enjoy this weather, and see what we do on our farm here.
I'll bet. Now, Phil, I remember when I was growing up, we used to go to this is in Ohio, but years ago. But we used to go to a farm that was not too far away, and where you could get pumpkins and all that. And they had a pumpkin cannon that you could fire. Have you ever considered adding one of those to the festivities?
No, we haven't. We're limited on space, even for parking. So I guess we could start shooting cars. But
there you go. Yeah.
So, but no, we're always looking for ideas, but not that one.
I automatically gravitate back to firearms. So sorry about that. I apologize for that.
Well, the Second Amendment.
I do a lot of hunting, but I don't hunt with the pumpkins.
I just wondered, because I know that you got so much going on out there. Tell us about what's there for the kids. What is Fort Spooky?
Fort Spooky is our playground area. We have two very large commercial rainbow play systems in there that's got slides and tunnels. We make a small corn maze that the smaller kids can go through. For the full families, they can go out in our big corn maze. But the Fort Spooky it's got tunnels in there, slides, all kinds of fun stuff for the kids to do. There's actually a seating area for the parents to sit and watch. And if the sun comes out, gets sit in the shade there.
That's awesome. Phil LaCrone is our guest. And he is from Stuckmeyer's Farm. If you've never been, it's a great destination for your family. And again, for little ones and photo ops, definitely a place you want to go to. You know what? I want to talk pumpkins with you, sir, because I've been seeing pumpkins that are way different colors than I ever remember. We remember the orange ones, and the whiter ones, or off-white, I guess it would be. And I just saw a couple of things, and it could be Photoshop on Facebook or Instagram, but I'm seeing blue ones and pink ones and yellow ones. Are they growing those like now, that now or no?
Yes, they are. And it's funny you mentioned that. We have a lot of those. Some are called Cinderella pumpkins. Some are actually called blues. There's Hubbards. There's all different colors of those. And they make great decorations for your porches, and they go great with the pumpkins. We have a huge selection of those right now.
Wow, that'd be pretty. I honestly don't know if I've ever come across one. I mean, maybe I've been going to more run of the mill pumpkin places, because I've not seen a blue pumpkin.
Variety. Oh, that's cool.
You have to be. They're tough to grow, and you got to get them when they ripen, but. If you pick them too early, then they want to get soft and rot on you. So,
I see.
But there's all different varieties, and every year they come out with more different kinds. We try a little bit each year, and we picked a bunch yesterday with them.
So I have to ask, if you cook with them, is the food blue?
Not on the inside.
Okay, I just wondered, because I had to ask, because, you know, I mean, a pumpkin is orange on the outside. If you make a pumpkin pie, it's orange. I didn't know if maybe a blue pumpkin would make a blue pie.
No. Okay. A little food coloring, though.
Yeah, a little food coloring would do the trick for you. That's good.
You know, Phil, I grew up in Minnesota in my younger years, and we would go down to Iowa, because they grow pumpkins, I guess, there too. And there's always that one farmer that grows that, you know, 700-pound blah, blah, blah. Have you guys ever gotten into that business of growing one of those gigantic pumpkins?
We grow big ones, but not the gigantic. The guys that grow the gigantic ones, they're almost tended to 24 hours a day. They start off finding the best seed. They'll pay a lot of money from one of those. They put them, when they plant them, they find the best bloom and the best pumpkin that started, and then they remove the rest of the bloom, so they're only feeding that one pumpkin.
Oh, wow.
Eventually, they put it underneath a little, like some people I've seen have put them under like a little trampoline so they don't rot, and then they cover them. If the sun's too hot, they'll cover them up and all that. They do much better larger up north because they have longer sunlight in the summers.
Ah, yeah, that makes sense. And what's the biggest one you can get at Stuckmeyer's?
Oh, we got 60-pounders, 60, 65-pounders.
That's pretty good.
So, that's a little bit to pick up. once in a while, we'll get them up to 80, 90 pounds. So, but it's a unique thing, so...
Well, yeah, I hope people are listening and thinking of, if you're thinking about going to a farm, check out Stuckmeyer's. You guys have been around for a long time. And here's the thing. For people that haven't been down there, it's not just on the weekend. You mentioned earlier that you entertain some school groups and that through the week. But families can come out as well, right?
Oh, definitely. The crowds are less. We have the playground area to go. We offer that hayride all day long. And we have our vegetable market open, Mums, the Pumpkin Patch. We actually built a Stuckmeyer's storefront by the Pumpkin Patch for, as you mentioned, photo ops. We have sunflowers growing and lots of farm scenery that people can come out and enjoy. Fresh air.
Well, I'll tell you, just a quick search on Amazon, and you can find some pretty cool pumpkin carving tools and kits and machines, battery-operated, Bluetooth. I don't know what they offer, but, Amazon Days is coming up. Unrelated to Stuckmeyer's, but kind of related, you guys have often used the parking right there across from the Pink Elephant before. Now there's a building going in. I guess it's a new gas station. Is that going to hinder your parking efforts? And is that the Pink Elephant rebuilding, or is that another gas station?
That is another gas station. So,
wow.
That it's not going to hinder our parking too much. We have made more parking back on our farm. And what was nice about that is we could park up there, shut off the back, and get cars. But now we have figured out in the back we'll have more additional parking, so we should be in good shape. So
Well, I just mentioned, because I've got a neighbor who really does it up for Halloween every year, you've got the corn stalks available for people if they want to come show up down there, straw bales, things like that.
We can't hardly keep up with the corn stalks. We're chopping corn every night and tying it in the mornings. We put them in bundles. We have Indian corn, corn stalks, and like you mentioned, we have lots of the blues and all those different colored pumpkins this year. So lots of items.
Should be a lot of fun. You've also got fresh vegetables that you mentioned. And are you growing those at the farm and selling them?
Oh yes, that's
everything.
We're mainly vegetable growers. We start with flowers in the spring, then grow vegetables all summer long. Right now we're still doing some summer crops as okra, but we're getting to the fall crops of green beans. We'll have some cabbage and lettuce and onions and all this stuff that you can grow in the cooler weather.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we hope it's a great season for you. Phil LaCrone, a farmer over at Stuckmeyer's Farm. If you've never been, make it a destination. It's a fourth-generation family-owned vegetable farm. It's located just south of St. Louis between Fenton and Arnold on 141 and Highway 21. And again, if you can't make it out on the weekends, the days that they're open during the week is you're open 7 days a week for like fall decorations and all that stuff. Right, Phil?
Yes. That's correct.
Okay. Well, that is the outdoors portion of the show.
Outstanding.
Of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. We hope you have a great season this year. Now, when does this farm shut down to the public in the winter?
1 November.
All right. So you get to the end of October to get in there. Absolutely. All right, Phil, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite organizations to help out Bo Matthews, and I do it every year on my show, is Responder Rescue. And there is there's a fundraiser coming up that we want to let you know about. They do such great work at Responder Rescue. We're going to talk to the folks at Trattoria Giuseppe coming up here in just a couple of minutes. You can find out more about their second annual fundraiser for Responder Rescue when we come back on Second Amendment Radio in the Grand Outdoors.
ask, I play. Pew, pew.
I'm telling you, you're DJ extraordinaire. The heat is on. How about that? This is Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors, and this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory and Repair on Manchester Road. Stop in. They have got a heck of a deal with a free scope to go along with your SIG firearm. Check out RazorbackArmory.com. And we welcome a dear friend of mine on the Missouri Brush Control guest line, Grace Presidente. She is the better half of Giuseppe Presidente. They are getting ready to do another responder rescue feast, and it's going to happen on Sunday this weekend. Grace, welcome to the program, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Now, we have a note that says this is the second annual, but this is the third, isn't it, or fourth?
No. This is the second annual with Responder Rescue. Last year was our first time doing this with them, and it was a big success. Yeah. But we're hoping for an even bigger success, if that's the right way to phrase it,
this Sunday.
It's just a way that Giuseppe and I can give back to the community, give back to our first responders who every single day that they put on that uniform and get in their cars or get in their fire trucks or whatever, they're putting their life on the line for us. And we just want to say thank you very much for everything that you do.
Well, thanks to you, Grace, and to Giuseppe for doing this, because Mark Cox here, I do a fundraiser for Responder Rescue every year as well on my show, and they're near and dear to my heart. I mean, I love what those folks do, Lisa and Pat over there, helping out first responders who've somehow been injured in the line of duty and need an extra helping hand.
Right. That's what's so great about this organization. I'm not taking anything away from the other organization, because right. they do a fantastic job too, because the other ones, Backstoppers, help the families when, God forbid, their loved one is killed. But Responder Rescue, what is so good about them, they help the families when their loved ones get injured, and you're at that crossroad, we're like, okay, what do I do now? I have the mortgage payment, but I can't make my mortgage payment, or I can't pay my electric, or I can't pay this hospital bill that came in. And that's where Responder Rescue steps up and helps that family and pays the hospital or the mortgage company or whoever directly.
Yeah.
Directly to them. Well, so that's what's so cool about them too.
And this is an event that is attended fabulously. In the past year, I saw giant tents on your parking lot out front. Are you going to kind of do that same design?
No, not this time. We're holding off. That was a lot that year that we had it going on inside, outside, tents, a band, and all this stuff. I was going nuts, but my better half, Giuseppe, was really going nuts. So we're not going to do that yet. We're going to hold back for a little bit. But then at some point again, we'll do a big blowout like that. But what we're going to have... go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I want to explain what people can expect when they come out to your place. Noon to 5 on Sunday at Trattoria Giuseppe at 21 and M Highway. Go ahead. Tell us about that.
So it's $25 for adults, $10 for children 12 and under. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. So there will be two kinds of pastas, three different kinds of meats, salad, bread, toasted ravioli, and then, I think as I told you a little bit last night, at the end of the buffet, I mean, everybody wants desserts, right? So yeah. There will be little mini cheesecakes. But the fun thing about this, the dessert area is manned by a really sweet, cute, bubbly, sparkly little girl, and she will have donation boots at her table. And she'll tell you about the cheesecakes. And then there's no way you could refuse. to put donations in her boots. And last year, and the little girl just happens to be our youngest granddaughter, Bella.
Aww.
And last year, her boots took in $2,300 in donations.
Oh, no, that's awesome.
I mean, she will hit you up. She will hit you up big time.
You know, Grace, that fantastic. I love that. Now, I do have to ask a question, though, because this could get kind of dicey. Have you thought this through? Because you mentioned an all-you-can-eat buffet, and I watched Bo Matthews' eyes light up when you said that you might run out of food.
No, we won't run out of food. And we have seen people come back quite a few times, but we're not going to turn you away. It's kind of like with the loaves and the fishes. The food will just keep materializing. And there's also a wine tasting that will be taking place kind of like at the corner of our bar area. So you can, and this is all provided by Tavolo Vignetto, another really super good friend of ours, Joe and Marcy Crawford. They'll be doing the wine tasting. So you taste the wine, you like the wine, you want to buy a bottle of wine, and all the proceeds from that, they donate the entire thing to Responder Rescue.
Oh,
That's great. All right, just one little suggestion. I've only given Grace a couple of suggestions over the years, and I won't tell you the first one, but I believe that life is short. You should have dessert first. So do you have another grandchild that could do a dessert table at the beginning?
Well, you see, three of our five grandchildren are involved in this. So you'll get our middle grandson at the beginning of the line because he passes out the plates and the silverware. And then as you start to go through the buffet line, you'll have our older grandson, Nick, who will be serving up some of the pastas. And if you have a question about any of the pastas, he can explain everything to you about what's on the buffet line.
It's in his blood. So, nice. In his blood.
Yeah. No kidding. Excellent.
And then a lot of our friends give up their Sunday, and they come and they volunteer to do this with us. So we are just blessed all the way. All the way around. And the rest of our family comes and donates their time. Our younger son, our daughter-in-law, and possibly our older son and daughter-in-law, too, will be there. So it's just a whole family day event thing.
Well, will you have help in parking out in the? I mean, you got a big parking lot.
It's not like the other. There's no shuttle service. There'll be plenty of parking because there won't be tents and tables taking up. You know.
Yeah.
There won't be that going on.
You're not taking reservations. This is a first come first serve kind of thing, correct?
We have taken reservations. You can still call and tell me approximately how many people, what time you're coming. What I've been telling people, that's for our benefit. So we know how many people we're cooking for throughout the day. That's great. So that way there are no surprises. If we have 200 people for reservations, then we know, okay, well, we got to cook for 200. Plus.
It could happen. So, it could happen, Grace.
It could happen. Yeah. Well, it will.
Responder Rescue is a wonderful organization, as you had mentioned at the beginning of this conversation. And we can't thank you enough. You and Giuseppe doing all that you do for the community year-round, feeding the masses, and especially on this day. This Sunday, the 8th, I guess it's the 8th, right?
Yes.
Noon to 5, Trattoria Giuseppe. And as I've always said, if you like your Italian food on a hill, their elevation, I've done the work, it's about 880 feet above sea level, a little higher than downtown. Just saying.
Nice.
All right. We'll see you Sunday, Grace. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for having me on your show. Giuseppe and I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Keep up the good work. You're a blessing to the community to do something like that. Respondorrescue.org, by the way, is the website. If for some reason you can't make it out, but you'd still like to show them some love, I'm sure there's a button on there where you can donate. So
absolutely. All right. Good stuff. Well, there you go. That's it.
That's it.
We're done.
Enjoy the fall weather out there, folks. And if you're heading off, if you're hunting or heading out hunting, enjoy that. Couple different seasons going on right now. Won't be long, Bo Matthews. Won't be long.
Yes, sir.
I'll be down there chasing that 10-point buck in your backyard.
You better stop.
He's warning me off now. All right, that'll do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys. He's on fire.
Get more at 971talk.com.
You ask, I play. Pew, pew.
I'm telling you, you're DJ extraordinaire. The heat is on. How about that? This is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, and this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory and Repair on Manchester Road. Stop in. They have got a heck of a deal with a free scope to go along with your SIG firearm. Check out RazorbackArmory.com. And we welcome a dear friend of mine on the Missouri Brush Control guest line, Grace Presidente. She is the better half of Giuseppe Presidente. They are getting ready to do another responder rescue feast, and it's going to happen on Sunday this weekend. Grace, welcome to the program, ma'am. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Now, we have a note that says this is the second annual, but this is the third, isn't it, or fourth?
No. This is the second annual with Responder Rescue. Last year was our first time doing this with them, and it was a big success. Yeah. But we're hoping for an even bigger success, if that's the right way to phrase it,
this Sunday.
It's just a way that Giuseppe and I can give back to the community, give back to our first responders who every single day that they put on that uniform and get in their cars or get in their fire trucks or whatever, they're putting their life on the line for us. And we just want to say thank you very much for everything that you do.
Well, thanks to you, Grace, and to Giuseppe for doing this, because Mark Cox here, I do a fundraiser for Responder Rescue every year as well on my show, and they're near and dear to my heart. I mean, I love what those folks do, Lisa and Pat over there, helping out first responders who've somehow been injured in the line of duty and need an extra helping hand.
Right. That's what's so great about this organization. I'm not taking anything away from the other organization, because right. They do a fantastic job too, because the other ones, Backstoppers, help the families when, God forbid, their loved one is killed. But Responder Rescue, what is so good about them, they help the families when their loved ones get injured and you're at that crossroad, we're like, okay, what do I do now? I have the mortgage payment, but I can't make my mortgage payment, or I can't pay my electric, or I can't pay this hospital bill that came in. And that's where Responder Rescue steps up and helps that family and pays the hospital or the mortgage company or whoever directly.
Yeah.
Directly to them. Well, so that's what's so cool about them too.
And this is an event that is attended fabulously. In the past year, I saw giant tents on your parking lot out front. Are you going to kind of do that same design?
No, not this time. We're holding off. That was a lot that year that we had it going on inside, outside, tents, a band, and all this stuff. I was going nuts, but my better half, Giuseppe, was really going nuts. So we're not going to do that yet. We're going to hold back for a little bit. But then at some point again, we'll do a big blowout like that. But what we're going to have,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I want to explain what people can expect when they come out to your place. Noon to 5 on Sunday at Trattoria Giuseppe at 21 and M Highway. Go ahead. Tell us about that.
So it's $25 for adults, $10 for children 12 and under. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet. So there will be two kinds of pastas, three different kinds of meats, salad, bread, toasted ravioli, and then, I think as I told you a little bit last night, at the end of the buffet, I mean, everybody wants desserts, right? So yeah. There will be little mini cheesecakes, but the fun thing about this, the dessert area is manned by a really sweet, cute, bubbly, sparkly little girl, and she will have donation boots at her table, and she'll tell you about the cheesecakes, and then there's no way you could refuse to put donations in her boots. And last year, and the little girl just happens to be our youngest granddaughter, Bella,
aww.
her boots took in $2,300 in donations.
Oh, no, that's awesome.
I mean, she will hit you up. She will hit you up big time.
You know, Grace, that's fantastic. I love that. Now, I do have to ask a question, though, because this could get kind of dicey. Have you thought this through? Because you've mentioned an all-you-can-eat buffet, and I watched Bo Matthews' eyes light up when you said that you might run out of food.
No, we won't run out of food. And we have seen people come back quite a few times, but we're not going to turn you away. It's kind of like with the loaves and the fishes, the food will just keep materializing. And there's also a wine tasting that will be taking place kind of like at the corner of our bar area. So you can, and this is all provided by Tavolo Vigneto. Another really super good friend of ours, Joe and Marcy Crawford, they'll be doing the wine tasting. So you taste the wine, you like the wine, you want to buy a bottle of wine, and all the proceeds from that, they donate the entire thing to Responder Rescue.
That's great. All right, just one little suggestion. I've only given Grace a couple of suggestions over the years, and I won't tell you the first one, but I believe that life is short. You should have dessert first. So do you have another grandchild that could do a dessert table at the beginning?
Well, you see, three of our five grandchildren are involved in this. So you'll get our middle grandson at the beginning of the line because he passes out the plates and the silverware. And then as you start to go through the buffet line, you'll have our older grandson, Nick, who will be serving up some of the pastas. And if you have a question about any of the pastas, he can explain everything to you about what's on the buffet line.
It's in his blood. So, nice. In his blood.
No kidding. Excellent.
And then a lot of our friends give up their Sunday, and they come and they volunteer to do this with us. So we are just blessed all the way.
We are blessed
all the way around. And the rest of our family comes and donates their time. Our younger son, our daughter-in-law, and possibly our older son and daughter-in-law, too, will be there. So it's just a whole family day event thing.
Well, will you have help in parking out in the – I mean, you got a big parking lot.
It's not like the other, there's no shuttle service. There'll be plenty of parking because there won't be tents and tables taking up, you know.
Yeah.
There won't be that going on.
You're not taking reservations. This is a first come, first serve kind of thing, correct?
We have taken reservations. You can still call and tell me approximately how many people, what time you're coming. What I've been telling people, that's for our benefit. So we know how many people we're cooking for throughout the day,
That's great.
So that way there are no surprises,
Absolutely. Like
if we have, we'll say 200 people for reservations, then we know, okay, well, we got to cook for 200 plus.
It could happen. So, it could happen, Grace.
It could happen. Yeah. Well, oh, it will. It will.
Responder Rescue is a wonderful organization, as you had mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, and we can't thank you enough. You and Giuseppe doing all that you do for the community year-round, feeding the masses, and especially on this day. This Sunday, the 8th, I guess it's the 8th, right?
Yes.
Noon to 5, Trattoria, Giuseppe, and as I've always said, if you like your Italian food on a hill, their elevation, I've done the work, it's about 880 feet above sea level, a little higher than downtown. Just saying.
Nice. Nice.
All right. We'll see you Sunday, Grace. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for having me on your show. Giuseppe and I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Keep up you the bet. Good work. You're a blessing to the community to do something like that. Respondtorescue.org, by the way, is the website. If for some reason you can't make it out, but you'd still like to show them some love, I'm sure there's a button on there where you can donate. So
absolutely. All right. Good stuff. Well, there you go. That's it.
That's it.
We're done.
Enjoy the fall weather out there, folks. And if you're heading off, if you're hunting or heading out hunting, enjoy that. Couple different seasons going on right now. Won't be long, Bo Matthews. Won't be long.
Yes, sir.
I'll be down there chasing that 10-point buck in your backyard.
You better stop.
He's warning me off now. All right, that'll do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.